In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Tonight we are journeying with Jesus as the one who loves and serves. So beautifully depicted in the Gospel reading today. Now this entire scene takes place at an evening meal just before the Passover. It is Passover preparation day. Passover is the important Jewish festival, the day when the Jewish people remember their liberation, their exodus from slavery in Egypt through the wilderness to a land flowing with milk and honey. And as they remember this, as they celebrate this Passover, it brings the same God's saving love into the present. So the past is not for them just a thing of the past, but the eternal now of the eternal God breaking into their present. The expectation is there that God would save them and liberate them as he had saved and liberated Moses. They believed the Passover meal and continue to believe. The Passover meal is a sacred and holy celebration in which God delivers again. As God says in our Exodus reading tonight, "This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it." Now, as we read in the other Gospels, Jesus planned this Passover meal very carefully. The lamb, the bread, the wine, an upper room in a discreet part of the city. And when Jesus arrived with his disciples, it was as if Jesus knew that this night was going to be especially significant. Through this event, everything that followed would be seen and understood. As we read, "Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end." Now, can you imagine what the rest of the city was like this night? A buzz, an excitement. Preparations for the Passover festival were happening everywhere, just like happens today for our Jewish brothers and sisters. Dressing up, tables being laid, families planning to gather together. Probably the hot day was cooling down, which was some relief. So much happens on this day in the upper room with Jesus and his disciples. Slightly different in all the Gospels, but always indeed transforming events. What are we going to witness here in this room? The foot washing, the birth of the sacraments, the first communion, earthly elements of the old creation transformed by Jesus in the making of the new creation. So, during the meal, what did Jesus do? I think fairly quietly. Took off his outer robes, tied a large towel around his waist, poured water into a basin, and started to wash his disciples' feet. They could hardly believe it. As Stephen Cottrell, Archbishop of York, says, "He was in those moments a still small voice in their presence, a voice of service that deliberately did this simple act of love. And of course, the disciples were receiving from him. And perhaps, like most of us, they weren't very good at this. We're not always good at receiving from other people, are we? Did they feel embarrassed? Could hardly understand why he wouldn't be receiving from them or from others? And they all seemed to have fallen silent themselves, except for Peter. Peter. How could the Son of Man, as Jesus called himself, be like a servant to them? He turned topsy-turvy all their previous ideas about how God operates. But as we know, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And we find out here that washing feet is a new and different sort of leadership. Now, can we all imagine for a moment what it would have been like to have our feet washed by Jesus? Now, as we all know, feet are not usually beautiful. Well, some of yours might be. I know mine aren't. They're not usually beautiful, are they? They can be misshapen, ugly, maybe corns, maybe bunions. Yet here is Jesus holding their feet firmly, looking into their eyes before he washes them. So can you imagine the cool water, Jesus holding and kneading your feet? What would you say to Jesus if Jesus washed your feet? Would you be silent as the God of love kneels at your feet? Or would you object like Peter? And Jesus at this point is also very aware that one of those dear disciples that he calls friends will betray him. He says, "You are clean, though not all of you." So in this room, in this intimate space, Jesus is both a fully human companion, shockingly humble beyond his friends' expectations, and attending to his friends with a gentle touch and water. But Jesus is also the eternal Word, fully God, sustaining everyone and every element in the whole world through creative power, fully human, fully divine. And Jesus is the source of every sacrament we celebrate. And though we betray him, and we always do at some point, maybe more than one point, in the words of the priest and poet Malcolm Guite, he meets us here and loves us into light. So over the next days, we will be contemplating that eternal love that gives to the uttermost, a love that is preparing to die, a love that does not want us to die, want us to die without knowing the bread of heaven, the bread and wine of the new creation. So at the table, what did Jesus do? Well, he did what he had done so many times with his friends. He took bread, lifted it up, and gave thanks to God, his arms outstretched. the prayers of thanksgiving. And he lifted the cup of wine, the new covenant in his blood. And when Jesus did this, his friends remembered, not just about Moses and the Exodus from Egypt, but about what Jesus had said and done already in his earthly ministry. That he had said he was the vine, he was the bread of life, the one who gives living water, and that those who eat this bread and drink from the cup of salvation will live forever. Amen.